probably. Been like they've been helped in the services, folks that's been watching online. I've gotten folks that's contacted me and told me that the service has been a blessing, and we appreciate that so much. And it's good to see all of you here in the Lord's house tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. I'm going to give you a simple thought tonight. I won't be long before you. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And I want to start reading in verse number 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse number 8. The Apostle Paul writing here, and he says this: "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Verse 15, please. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me for just a few moments as I try to bring the message, God, that you've impressed upon me for this hour. I pray you'd give us receptive hearts now. And Lord, if there's someone that has a need here in the service tonight, I pray, God, that you'd meet it. Lord, if there's one here tonight that needs to be saved, I pray, God, would you speak to that heart tonight by your mercy and grace. And Father, we're going to give you praise, and we're going to thank you for what you do, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it tonight. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, we find a familiar portion of Scripture to those of us who read our Bibles and study the Word of God. What comforting words here as the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says in verse number 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Have you ever been like that? It seemed like everywhere you looked there was trouble, yet there was something that was keeping you from being distressed in the middle of all of that. He comes down and he says this: "We are perplexed." I get like that quite a bit myself personally. He said, "We're perplexed, but not in despair." He said, "Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And then he comes down, and where I really want to focus tonight, in verse number 16, he's talking of all the things that face all of us as the children of God. And he says this: "For all things," in verse 16, "for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And then he says this: "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I don't know about you, but sometimes the trials of this life don't seem like just a moment to me. Matter of fact, what we've been through this year has seemed, somebody made a joke the other day, and they said this is the fourth year that we've been in 2020 right now. It seems like it's been several years we've been in this one year, and it's been a very difficult time for every age group. It's been hard on the older folks. It's been hard on folks in the hospitals, in the nursing homes. It's been hard on our young people, not being able to be in the school and around their friends like they need to be. And certainly we have had a very difficult year, but I'm glad in the midst of all the difficulties that the Lord will help us and he'll encourage us, and I believe he wants to do that here tonight. I was reading this scripture one day, several years ago. I was at home one morning. I'd been studying in my study. It was a beautiful spring, late spring day, and it was a beautiful sunshiny day. The birds were singing, the flowers were blooming, and I had been studying that morning, and I had some visits I needed to make that morning, go visit a couple of folks. And after I got done with my studying, I went out in my backyard there where my car was parked, and of course, it's a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky, just one of those kind of days that you just want to admire the beauty of God's creation. And I wasn't thinking about anything other than just I had a couple of visits I needed to make. And I went and got in my little car that I had. I had a little four-wheel drive vehicle that I drove back then. And when I got in that car, I guess I had on my mind the places I needed to stop. And I started it up, and I headed out of the driveway. And as I headed out of the driveway, I noticed something that I hadn't seen when I got in the car. But as I began to drive, I noticed that on my windshield, there was a little bug that was on the windshield that day. It was about that long, and it had long wings, and it was just sitting right there on the windshield. And I looked at it, and I said, well, that little bug was sitting there in the sunshine enjoying the beautiful day. And as I saw him on there, I'm thinking, well, when I pull out and take off down the road, he'll probably just fly off. And that day, I pulled out on the highway, and I began to pick up speed, and apparently that little bug liked where he was at. He liked where he was sitting, and he wasn't in no hurry to vacate where he was at. And as I started down the road, I started picking up speed. I was watching him intently. I'm thinking, how long is he going to stay on there? And as I picked up speed, I'm going down the road, all of a sudden, that little bug is just in the fight of his life, just trying to stay on that. I mean, he's positioning his legs, and I'm picking up. Matter of fact, it got to the place it was almost like a duel to see who could outdo each other. I'm picking up speed trying to get him to fly off, and it seemed like the faster I got, he was looking through the windshield saying, come on, big boy, is that the best you can do? Praise God. I mean, I'm going down the road, and all of a sudden, that little bug, it's been a beautiful, sunshiny day. He's been sitting there enjoying the, and now all of a sudden, he's hurled into the storm of his life. He's being buffeted. He's been beaten by the winds, and he's in a struggle just to hang on to where he's at. That's much like many of us have been this year. We were enjoying life. Life was good. You may have had a good job. You had a lot of things planned for this year. And then all of a sudden, we began to be thrust into a storm that none of us saw coming. It was none of our fault. And yet, it's everything that's in us. It's taken it just to hang on to where we're at. I began to think about that, and I'm preaching a message on this thought. It's probably the best title I've got for a message that I've ever preached, and I'm preaching on this subject tonight on sometimes you feel like a bug on a windshield. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all, ain't nobody ever forgets that title. Sometimes there's times that I feel just like that little creature that day as I was driving down the road. Man, he's getting beat all around, and the wind's buffeting him, but yet there was something in him. There was resolve. He didn't want to leave that windshield. I got to thinking about that. You say, preacher, what is it about when the storms of life come? Paul said it like this. He said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. He said, we're cast down, but not forsaken. Hallelujah to his name. I thought about this. You say, preacher, what is it about when you feel like a bug on a windshield? I'll give you these things and I'm done tonight. Number one, just remember this. Whenever you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember that there's somebody that's watching you. I got to thinking about that little old bug. Here he is. He's in his own little bug world. All of a sudden, he's being hurled down the road, and he probably thinks, ain't nobody knows what I'm going through. Boy, if there's been one thing during this time that we've been through, the isolation
and feeling alone has been something, and many of you probably think there's nobody knows what I've been through this year. Even your family may not know fully. I thought about this, the people that's had loved ones in nursing homes that couldn't visit them. I've got a preacher friend whose wife is in a nursing home. She has dementia. And he told me, he said, I've not been able to go see her through all this. She don't understand. He don't understand. And there's been a loneliness that's gripped people's hearts through all of this. But that day, I could imagine that little bug thinking, ain't nobody knows what I'm going through. But the truth of the matter was, there was one that had his eye on him. And it was the one that had his hand on the wheel. Amen. I'm glad to tell you tonight that when you feel like nobody knows what you're going through, when you feel like nobody can identify with your plight or your circumstance, I'm glad the one that's guiding my life on this journey of life has his eyes on me. Hallelujah. He's looking out for us tonight, and he's watching over us. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy tonight. Here I was, and matter of fact, as I drove, I got keenly interested in what that little bug was going through. Matter of fact, the more he went through, the faster I got. It got to the point that I got to feeling sorry for him. And I started slowing down. Amen. I'm glad every now and then God sees our infirmities. He sees our affliction. And I'm glad God's able to help us and give us comfort in the midst of the troubles of life. I don't know. I'm glad that God watches over his children. Amen. The Bible tells me over there in the Word of God says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Aren't you glad we have a God tonight that knows where we're at and he knows what we're going through? And when you feel like that little old bug, when you feel like you can't hang on any longer, there's a God that's watching you. Hallelujah to his name. And several years ago, I had a dear lady in our church. Somebody had invited her to come to church. She had been out of church for years and not been where she needed to be with God, and somebody had befriended her and found that out, and they invited her to come to church, and she did. She came to the services, and it wasn't but just two or three services there. All of a sudden, God began to deal with her to get right with the Lord and get things fixed up. And I'll never forget the Sunday. The choir was singing, and we were having a good time there in the service. All of a sudden, I looked up, and she was weeping, and she came down the aisle just weeping and fell on the altar, and she got things right with God. And boy, I tell you what, ever since that time she'd rejoice when she sung in the choir. She'd just happy. She'd been there about a year, maybe a year and a half, and after she'd been there that long, one day she told me, she said, "Preacher, I've been having some health issues. I don't know what's going on, but I've got to go for some tests." And she said, "I've been having some headaches and things, and they're going to run some tests on me." And I was there that day when they came out from the test and they told the family. They said, "Listen, what we found is she's got a brain tumor," and said, "we're going to try to operate and see if we can get what we can get." Of course, the family was devastated. They did surgery on her to try to remove this cancerous brain tumor. And when they came out, they told the family, they said, "We got all of it that we could, but said at best she has 6 months left to live." And of course, they were devastated by that. I was devastated by it. And I'll never forget, she got, after her surgery, I went into where she was at there, and she's recovering. And I said, "Sister Barb," I said, "you doing okay?" And they had her head bandaged up, and she was clear of mine. She said, "Yeah, preacher, I'm doing okay." She said, "They told me they got a lot of that was in there, and I didn't say anything about what they had said." I said, "Well, that's good, Sister Barb." I said, "You just need to get back on your feet now, and when you get back home, take care of yourself." And she said, "As soon as I can, I'm going to be at church, preacher." I said, you take it easy now. Don't you push yourself." And anyway, it wasn't but about a week or so as she got out of the hospital. She got well enough. She felt like coming to church, and where they'd had to shave her hair off to do the surgery, she was wearing a little hat on her head. And that Sunday morning, we were singing in the choir, and she felt good enough to get up. And she was standing up in the choir singing with us. And All of a sudden, we got to having one of them services and one of them popcorn services where people begin to testify all over the house. And somebody stood up over here and said, "Preacher, I've just got to testify today." And I said, "Yeah, go ahead." And they said, "I just want to thank the Lord. I got a good report from the doctor this week. My test came back good, and I have a good report. I got a good report." And I said, "Well, hallelujah," and we rejoiced over that. Somebody else testified about some good news they'd gotten from the doctor, and somebody else had another kind of a report that was favorable, and they was testifying about that. All of a sudden, this lady standing in the choir that's just had brain surgery, she said, "Preacher, can I testify?" And I said, "You can, Sister Barb." She said, "I have a good report. Jesus is watching over me." That's what she said. That's all she said that day. And after I got home, I was talking to my wife. I said, "Did I misunderstand what Sister Barbara said today? Did she say she got a good report at the doctor?" My wife looked at me and said, "No, she didn't say she got a good report. She said she had one." I'm glad, praise God, with the Lord looking over you, even when the doctor don't give you a good report, I'm glad you can have a good report in the fact that Jesus is watching over us. Hallelujah to his name. When you feel like a bug on a windshield and you feel like you're about to not able to hang on, just remember there's one that's watching you. I read over there in the book of Exodus where Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. And the Bible said they've come to the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is behind them. And here they are at an immovable object. All of a sudden, Moses says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And then all of a sudden, Moses lifts his rod and the mighty Red Sea rolls back and they begin to cross over. The Bible said they crossed over all that night. And the Bible said this as well, on dry ground. And as they're going across, something else happened. Pharaoh's army is in hot pursuit. And the Bible said that God looked down through the pillar of cloud. Amen. And he saw the Israelites. But he also saw Satan, the army of Pharaoh. Can I say to you, I'm glad God's got his eyes on his children, but he's got his eyes on the devil's crowd too. Amen. And the Bible said that as Pharaoh's army drove their chariots into the Red Sea, that all of a sudden in the middle of the Red Sea, this is what happened. I've always been impressed. I've never been a big NASCAR fan. But I've always been impressed at them guys in the pit stops when those cars will come racing into the pit stop and all of a sudden there'll be a bunch of guys run out. They'll jack that car up. They'll change four tires and fill it up with gas in just a matter of seconds. And that is impressive to me. And I'm going to tell you what's even more impressive. The Bible said that Pharaoh's army in the middle of the Red Sea, that God took off their chariot wheels. In other words, in the middle of the Red Sea, God jacked up the army of Pharaoh. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, that he's able tonight, no matter what your battle is, no matter what your struggle is, there's one that's watching you. The one that's got his hand on the wheel is watching you tonight. You say, "Preacher, what is it about this when you feel like a bug on a windshield?" Just remember, somebody's watching you. Number two, just remember this. No matter what you're going through, what you're holding to hasn't changed. That day I'm watching this little bug, and I begin to think, my mind, you can tell I think weird. I just look at things. I see preaching and everything I look at, and that day as this little bug is hanging onto the windshield, he's not where he started out. Matter of fact, he started out a beautiful sunshiny day, enjoying the day. Now all of a sudden he's being hurled down the road at breakneck speed. He's probably looking around and saying, "Man, the scenery sure has changed." He's probably thinking, "Man, I'm dead. This don't look like anything like the place where I used to be." He's probably thinking in his mind, he said, "Man, here I am. And it seems like everything, I don't even recognize where I'm at right now." Does that sound familiar to any of us? Boy, I tell you what, when we look around, do you really think that this is what it's supposed to be in our nation? No, we're much like that little bug. We look around and say, man, is this America? Am I still in the right place? I mean, all this stuff's going on, but let me tell you something right now. That little bug, he's looking around. Everything has become a blur to him. But you know what? Every time he looks down, what he was holding to hasn't changed. The scenery's changed. Everything's become a blur. But every time he gets distressed about that, he looks down and he said, you know, this windshield's the same as it was when I started holding on to it. It hadn't changed. Everything around me's changed, but this hadn't changed. This is what I like about this. He's holding on to something. Really, he can't really see it. It's invisible almost. He knows it's there because he's holding on to it. Kind of like that verse over there where it says, seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Amen. I've never seen Jesus with my eyes, but I sure have felt him. I do know he's real tonight. I've seen him in the Word of God through the eye of faith. I've never seen him physically, but I'm here to tell you, praise God. You may be here tonight. Things may have changed in your life, and everything seems like it's a blur, but just remember this. What you're holding to has not changed. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm holding to an unchanging hand tonight. Amen. I thought about in this world that's turned upside down. People got more questions than they do answers. You've got that blessed old book you hold in your hand. You open it up and it reads the same as the first day you ever picked it up. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. Just remember, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, what you're holding to hadn't changed. Number three, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember what you're going through might simply be to get somebody else where they need to be. You think about this. I was in this little episode that day with this little creature that God created. I'm watching him as I'm hurling down the road, 40, 50 miles an hour, and he's hanging on, and it's like he's just doing his best. He's being beat, and all of a sudden, I got to think about it. He's in a storm. But the storm he was in wasn't even about him. You know the reason he was going through that? Because there was somewhere I needed to be, and in order to get me where I needed to be, he had to go through what he's going through. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. You'll do the spiritual math on that in a little bit. You'll get that tomorrow. Sometimes I've often wondered the troubles that come on our lives may not even be about us. But it may be about getting somebody in our life where they need to be with God. I've seen it happen more times than not, preacher. I've seen more times than not when God would allow sickness to come, or maybe even a death in a family, and God would begin to use that tragedy and that trouble and that trial to bring some wayward child or somebody that needed to be where they need to be with God. God began to work even through. That's how you can explain Romans 8:28. For all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, who are the called. And that means all things. That means good things. That means bad things. God works in all of it. Hallelujah. Sometimes God takes the hard things of our life to get others in our life where they need to be with God. I had a dear lady in my church. She attended our church for over 20 years. She would bring her daughters to church with her. She would even bring her couple of grandkids with her to church in later years. But she had a husband who would never come to church with her. In all 20 years, she came to our church. She was a quiet lady, loved me, loved the Lord. And I'm telling you what, she was a blessing to our church. She was a little lady. She worked at the dollar store there in our town. Everybody knew her. Everybody loved her. Her name was Mary. And Mary loved me. And Miss Mary, she worked there at the little store. And one day her daughter called me and said, "Preacher, I need you to pray for Mom." She said, "She's been having some stomach problems. Don't know what it is. I'm going to take her to the doctor, see if they can find out what's going on. She's been having some pain and things." And I said, "Well, I'll pray for you." I said, you let me know what they find out. And they took her in. They began to do some tests. And all of a sudden, the doctor said, we need to put her in the hospital. We need to see what's going on. And they put her in the hospital. And they ran a couple of scans. And the doctors came back and said, she's got cancer. Said she's. It looks appears that she's eat up with cancer. I mean, she'd worked right up until this point. Hadn't let anybody know that she was that sick. And he said, we're going to have to keep her here in the hospital. We're going to try to figure out if there's some kind of strategy we can attack this. I don't think we can do surgery. And within less than 2 weeks, she was in heaven. I mean, just went into the hospital, just said she's hurting in her stomach. Next thing you know, she's in heaven. I went to the house that day to help make the arrangements for her funeral. Her husband, he's 80-some years old, early 80s. His name is Earl. And the daughter was there that day, one of the daughters anyway. And we were making the arrangements for the service. And I said, Earl, I'm sorry about Mary. I said, I loved Mary. And they were showing me some pictures the family had. And all of a sudden, the daughter walked over to the refrigerator and got a picture off of the refrigerator and brought it and handed it to me. And when I looked at it, I realized it was a picture of me and my family when we first went to the church there. And she had kept that picture of me and my family on her refrigerator for almost 20 years. And that, boy, that touched me so deeply. I said, you know, it's not just everybody that gets their picture on your refrigerator. That's a place that's reserved for special people. You go to our refrigerator tonight, you see the grandbabies all over it. That's special people in your life that gets on the refrigerator. But here was a little lady that loved me and my family so much that she kept our picture on her refrigerator for 20 years. And I was sitting there thinking about the service. We had the service and the burial and everything. And it was a week or so after that, the daughter came to me. Now, her husband's name was Earl, but as they were married for many, many years, and she didn't call him Earl. She would always say, honey, would you like this? Or, honey, would you like me to do this for you? Honey, what do you want for supper? So she called him honey all the time. And the children, as they were growing up, they heard their mother calling their dad honey all the time. So the children grew up calling him honey too. That's what they all still call him today, is honey. And the daughter came to me and she said, preacher, said, I've been talking to honey. And honey, I think he's about ready to come to church with me. Talking about 20 years, his wife came and he wouldn't come with her. Now she's gone. God's working in his heart and in his life. One Sunday I looked up and there came the daughter and there was honey. He's a frail little man. And they brought him and it got so that just about every Sunday I looked back, there they were. Some Sundays they'd have to roll him in a wheelchair. But there he was. And I said, Lord, I sure wish you'd do something for him. Back in this pandemic when it first started, I got a call from this daughter and she said, preacher, I need you to pray for honey. I said, what's wrong? She said, they've had to put him in the hospital at Bristol. He's got an infection. And I said, preacher, they won't let me go into the hospital to see him. I'm having to sit in the parking lot. I said, I can't see him. I said, they've put him in ICU. Here's this elderly man. He's sick. He's alone now in the hospital all by himself. She said, the nurse has been, though, at least once a day, when I call, the nurse will take a phone in and let me just say a word to him over the phone. She said, I said, will you keep me updated? And I said, if you get to talk to him, you tell him I'm praying for him. She said, I will, preacher. She said, I appreciate you. And she's staying over there sitting in the parking lot. She called me. She texted me. And I could tell she was really animated about something. I didn't know what's going on. So I called her. I said, it was a couple of days after that, I said, what in the world is going on? And she was talking so fast, I couldn't hardly understand what she was saying. I said, you're going to slow down. I said, tell me what's going on. She said, preacher, I called honey today. I called the hospital to ask if I could talk to honey. And said the nurse said, yeah, he needs to talk to somebody. Said, he's had a rough day. Said, he's, as a matter of fact, he's been real agitated and nervous. Just it seemed like he's just edgy. And said, he needs to talk to some of the family. And she said, I'll take the phone to him. And she went in, the nurse did, and here's a man in ICU. And the daughter said, "Honey, are you doing all right? How are you today?" And this is what he said to her. "I need to go to church." And she said, "Why, honey? What did you say?" He said, "I need to go to church." She had been talking to him about being saved. She said, you need to go to church. He said, "Yeah, I need to go to church." She said, "Honey, do you need to be saved?" He said, "Yeah, I need to be saved." And right then and there, that daughter began to lead her daddy to the Lord over a cell phone and him in the ICU unit. And she told me everything she told him. I said, "You done better than any preacher I could have called in the country." I said, she took him down the Romans Road, the Philadelphia bypass. I mean, she covered everything. And she said, "Preacher, honey got saved today in ICU all by himself." Oh, just when you think the devil's got you shut off in a corner somewhere, you can't get no help, that don't stop God from going there. Amen, hallelujah. When you feel like a bug on a windshield, praise God, I'm glad there's a God that'll help you. And what you're going through may be no more than just God using it to get somebody else where they need to be. I thought about that little wife for 20 years, came to church. He never came with her one time. He said, "Boy, that's sad that he got saved after she went to heaven." No, it ain't sad. I'd like to been to heaven. You know, they write names down up there. I'd like to be, and they may announce them so that people can hear them up there. And I'd like to been up there when they announced and said, "For anybody needs to know, honey just got in." Amen. I'm glad, praise God, I'm glad that the Lord can save you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I'm glad, hey, you may be here tonight. You may be here as a young person. You say, "Boy, this has been a hard year, preacher. I've not been able to be around my friends, and there's so much uncertainty in what the future looks like for us." Well, I got news for you right now. Your future looks bright if you'll give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, I'm glad the future's bright for God's children. I had the privilege once a year in our county there. We've only got one high school in our county, and once a year we always have the high school football team. We bring them down to our church and we prepare a big meal for them, and then I usually have a time to just say a few words to them, to try to talk to them about the things of the Lord. And our people do that every year. We'll have the whole football team down there. And the last time we had them down, we were there in the fellowship hall that night, and right before it was time to eat, they'd prepared a big meal for them. I said, "We just want you young people to know we appreciate you. We appreciate the coaches and how they help you and look over you and everything." And I said, "We just want you to know that there's a church in the community that cares about you, and we appreciate you." And I said, "If you don't know the Lord," I said, "I'm not going to preach a long sermon to you tonight, but this is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you one verse, and if you'll listen to this verse in your life and you'll follow this verse in your life, then everything in your life will turn out." And I quoted that verse where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." You're looking for what you're going to do in life. Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go to school? All of those are very important questions that we've all been there. And we've pondered them in our life. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you'll put the Lord first in your life, you won't have to worry about the other stuff. It'll fall in place. It'll find you. Amen. You'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. You'll simply give your life to him. Hallelujah. When you feel like a bug on a windshield, it may be simply to get somebody else where they need to be. Last of all, when you feel like a bug on a windshield, just remember this: hold on. It won't last forever. Some people said, "Man, this is rough." I know it is. Hang on. It came to pass. I watched that little bug as I drove. I had to go about 3 miles down the road. I've watched him struggle. I watched him all the way down the road. He never did fly off. He hung right on. And I got to where I was needing to go, and I pulled in the parking lot. Little rascal still sitting on the windshield. I mean, he survived the storm. But then the funniest thing happened. When I pulled in, when I reached the destination, all of a sudden, that little bug spread his wings, and he took flight after he had come through the storm. I said, you know, that's exactly how we're going to do one of these days. I said, this for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's been a rough journey for some of us. There's been a lot of trials. There have been a lot of hills and valleys. But one of these days, we're going to come to the end of the journey. And one of these days, we're going to spread our wings and we're going to take flight. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad there's a God that's got a better place prepared for us tonight. Hallelujah to his name. Sometimes you feel like a bug on a windshield. Let's bow our head for prayer. Sister, if you would come and get us a song on the piano for invitation. And I want to ask you tonight. I know many of you have gone through some difficulties this year, young and old alike. You may be here and you've got a need in your heart and life. Could be that there's somebody here tonight that you say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I'm not saved. I'd like to be. I'd kind of like to be that, about like that man you told us about, honey. I'd like to know that I'm saved tonight. I'd like to know that my sins are forgiven. And you may be here tonight and you say, preacher, I just don't understand some of the trials that we've had to face. I don't understand. I've been perplexed. Seems like I've been cast down, preacher. All those things that Paul wrote about there, I've experienced them all through this. Through it all, though, God's been there, and he's got his eyes on you tonight. He's watching you. He cares for you. I wonder tonight, would there be somebody, as we stand to our feet, I want to ask you tonight, is there somebody who say, preacher, I just feel the need of prayer tonight. Maybe you need to come pray for somebody that's in the midst of a storm. Maybe you have somebody you love that needs to be saved, or some situation of life you need the help of God. Why don't you do that tonight? If God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come? Step out, find a place here in this altar. There's somebody here that needs to be saved. You'll come tonight. Somebody will show you from the Word of God how to be saved tonight. All right, would you do that tonight? God's speaking to you. She plays tonight. Oh, do you have a need tonight? Is there some area of your life that you need help with tonight? Why don't you come? That's right. Be obedient to God. Don't wait on somebody else. You come. You can't never tell what God might do. Somebody's life, some of your family's life tonight, you'll give everything to God tonight. He'll help you. Oh, you may have come in here tonight feeling like, preacher, I don't feel like I can hang on much longer. Well, I'm here to tell you, just come and understand that the one you're holding to hasn't changed. Oh, the situation's changed. The climate's changed. The surroundings may have changed, but we're holding to an unchanging hand tonight. I wonder anybody else. That's right. You obey God tonight. If God's speaking, don't you resist him. Don't you shrug him off tonight. If he's speaking to your heart, you need help tonight, you step out. Or if you're here tonight, young person, if you're here and you don't know that you're saved tonight, what you ought to do is say, you know what, preacher? I need to be saved. Preacher, I need to know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Preacher, I need to know that my sins are forgiven. I wonder if there'd be somebody tonight, you say, preacher, would you pray for me? I've not come to the altar. Maybe you're here and you've got a burden on your heart. Would you lift your hand anywhere in the building and say, preacher, pray for me? I see that. God bless you. I see that. Thank you. Anybody else tonight? Lift your hand. I see that. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else tonight say, preacher, I've got some needs in my life. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us here in this meeting. God, I pray that you'll take the message now to the hearts of this people. Father, many times we feel like we're in the storms of our life. Lord, it's all we can do just to hang on. God, I pray, would you help us to leave tonight with the assurance that in the midst of our struggles, there's one that's watching us. Lord, I'm glad that what we're holding to hasn't changed. And in the midst of all the storms of our life, God, you're doing a work on us, in us, and in those around us. Father, soon this journey will be over. This life that's a vapor will soon be gone. Lord, one day we're going to listen for the shout. And we're going to fly away. Father, I thank you for what you've done. Help us now, I pray. Bless these that have come to the altar, these that have burdens on their heart tonight. Give them that they need tonight, Father. We're going to give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Preacher, you come tonight as you see fit.